This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Hello, everyone.
Hi, friends.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast. We are super, super, super excited about our special guest, and Tiffany is going to get the pleasure of introducing her.
Whoop, whoop. I am so excited. I love this lady, and she is just such a blessing to know and to just listen to. And I know you guys are going to be so excited to hear her tonight. So without further ado, Lisa Schwarz. Lisa Schwarz is a national speaker. She's a published author. She's a certified biblical counselor, a professional life coach, a brain health coach, and the founder and CEO of Crazy Eight Ministries. Welcome, Lisa. That is a lot, girl.
It is a lot. It's too much. It's a mouthful. It makes me sound very tired. That's what it does.
Yeah, you have a really big business card, right? With all the.
Well, you know, what's interesting is, so my husband and I also own several businesses. And so I read one business card and all it does is list all the businesses on the back with a phone number and that's it. So it has simplified my life.
There you go.
That's great. So, Lisa, with all of the titles, tell us a little about you as a person, Lisa.
Oh, I love that you asked that question. So I just mentioned my husband, Brad, and we have been married 32 years this year. Yeah. And we have 6 children. We have 3 boys, 3 girls. We have a lovely daughter-in-law, a lovely son-in-law. And last year we became grandparents for the first time ever. My son had a son, my daughter had a daughter, and they had them 4 days apart.
Oh my goodness.
So I was like, you guys couldn't have planned that any better, could you have? But that's been the most recent excitement personally in my life is becoming a Gigi. It has been such a thrill and so exciting.
Oh my gosh. I love following you on social media and watching you with these babies. It's such
I know.
You're such a little powerhouse. And then to see like grandma just melting with these babies.
I know.
So sweet.
And it's interesting because my oldest son, he's 29 and I just turned 50. So obviously I got married when I was 18 and Brad and I got married pretty young and we still have kids at home. And so my oldest son's like, you should retire and just be a full-time GD. And I'm like, no, I'm okay. I still have kids at do it full time though.
Yes. Wow. So, well, tell us a little bit about your God story, Lisa, and how you have gotten to all these titles. And where did all this start?
Let's see. So, you know, I've always had a passion for coming alongside people. Well, let me start with this. So I got saved when I was 18. So I was not raised in a Christian home. Mm-hmm. I got saved when I was 18. And honestly, I immediately fell in love with the Word of God and could not get enough information, knowledge, understanding of the Word of God. But I did not receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit until I was, almost 40 years old.
Wow.
And so I spent like age 18 to age 39, 40, when I got baptized with the Holy Ghost, probably more like 38, maybe, really struggling with all the information and all the knowledge and understanding of who I should be, who I could be in Christ, but then really wrestling with the realities of the things that I struggled with. So anxieties, depressions, feeling inferior as a mom, struggling with a lot of deep insecurities. We had challenges in our marriage like everybody does. Mm-hmm. And so there was a big disconnect for me in the information I was getting from scripture and how to enforce that information. So when I was 38, 39 years old, I really started, we had gone through a lot of changes, transitions. We had moved to Texas, a church that I had grown up with since I had gotten saved. And it really just kind of left room for me to ask questions about my relationship with the Lord and be curious about whether or not I was missing out on something. You know, when you're stuck in a religious teaching, there's not a whole lot of room for curiosity that's kind of seen as being a little bit dangerous. being outside the box. You know, a lot of times people will say, well, you need to be careful. And so I really felt the prompting and the invitation of the Holy Spirit to be curious, very specifically with the passage that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where he talks about, my message didn't come to you with wise and persuasive teaching, but rather it came to you with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that man's understanding wouldn't rest on me, but rather it would rest on God. And at that time, I really was already kind of moving down the path of starting ministry and ministering to a lot of youth, teaching, doing conferences, speaking at conferences. But that message, that verse really got me, because when I was honest with myself, I was like, man, I'm a really good, influential, and persuasive speaker. Very charismatic. I mean, you've heard me speak. My delivery is very entertaining. But I was really bothered by the fact that there was nothing that separated me from a worldly speaker. And so I really started asking questions like, what does it mean? I just got hit with the Spirit. What does it mean to bring your teaching and bring the word of God with the accompanying signs, which is what it tells us in Mark chapter 16 with the Great Commission. He says, this will be the sign to those who believe, that they will go and they will preach the word and they will confirm the word with accompanying signs. And I saw that lack in my own teaching and in my own speaking. And so that really started my personal journey of growing in my relationship with the Lord, to understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the manifestational gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so what's interesting is when I just kind of surrendered to that and was like, God, if speaking in tongues is real, if laying hands on people is real, then I want that. Like, I don't want to meet you one day in heaven and realize that these were all the gifts and all the things that I could have done that I missed out on. And the minute I said yes, not just to God, but to the Holy Spirit, it was so interesting, because all of those years of studying and reading the scriptures, it's like the Spirit just breathed life over it. And it just came alive for me. And it's not that I didn't have knowledge or an understanding of God, but it wasn't alive in my life. It's like it was just this understanding and this continuum of hope that I lived in, that maybe someday this will be my truth, that I walk in the fullness of joy and when I'm really struggling with depression, or I walk in the fullness of grace when I'm struggling on a daily basis with real temptations and real sins. And so really that's been my journey of going from unbeliever to saved for 15 to 20 years, but not actually empowered for 15 to 20 years. And so that has become my passion. Wow. So while before I got baptized with the Holy Ghost, I really loved to disciple students. I loved to disciple young women. There was an empowerment that came upon that when I came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that recognized, man, I really want to empower people and I want to help them enforce their identity in Christ and help them enforce their purpose. Hence my tagline, enforcing purpose. It starts with you. So that was a really long answer for your first question. How about that?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So Lisa, you have talked about, speaking of the power of the Holy Spirit, you have kind of became famous now on YouTube and TikTok. So in your wildest dreams, did you ever think that would be something you would be walking in?
You know, what's interesting is for years it has been prophesied over me that I would have a global ministry. And honestly, when people would prophesy that over me, I was like slowly dying on the inside, because I was like, this sounds terrible. I don't want to travel to other countries. I don't want to be away from my family for extended amount of times. And so it's just been recently, as you know, we've been watching TikTok followers, YouTube subscribers, all that increase, and people beginning to contact me. So people can schedule like 15-minute free discovery calls with me, and people call, you know, scheduling from Denmark, from Holland, from London, those kinds of places. It's been very recently the Lord was like, I told you would have a global ministry. So it's been interesting how, you know, and it's just a reminder of how when the Lord gives a word, our mind immediately begins to define what that word looks like. And But if we would let the Holy Spirit define it, which I've done, like, you know, God, if this is what you've called me to do, then I know that you will give me the excitement and the anticipation for it. Yeah. And I love being able to sit in my own office, you know, with my kids on the other side of the door and minister to people from around the world. So it's very exciting.
That is
And
nice.
There is no, you know, there's no limit in the Holy Spirit. He is the algorithm. He's the master algorithm. Ooh, he designed the algorithm. And all the algorithm that was designed by man does is imitate what the Holy Ghost has been doing from the very beginning, which is connecting people and moving information from one space to another. So, you know, I mean, obviously, so I really think TikTok, YouTube, Instagram has become my mission field. And I love it. I really love it. So,
yeah.
And it's, you know, it's, yeah, I do pray on a regular basis. Like I want it to be, I hate to say the word comfortable. Fitting is a better word because sometimes something fits you, but it's not comfortable. Right. And we have to be willing to stretch out of our comfort zone to go where God wants to take us, but it also needs to fit who we are. It needs to fit our families. It needs to fit, what our life looks like, you know? So it's been fun. It's been real fun.
Yes. Putting on social media a pair of pants is definitely interesting. It takes a while to get used to.
It for sure is. You know, we have a joke in my house where Brad will be like, "You ready to watch this movie?" And I'll be like, "I'm feeding the beast." And and I'm talking about, you know, I'm making a post or let me finish up this video production right quick or so. But it, you know, it is what it is. I have, you know, my kids love it. They're always like, "Mom, you have like 17,000 followers on da 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 da," you know, and I'm like, "Yeah, it's not a big deal." What's funny is we're starting to go places. We're starting to go places and people will recognize me. So that's a little awkward. But I had a team member who was traveled somewhere for a baseball team and she was wearing one of my t-shirts and she was in the bathroom and the lady was like, "Oh my gosh, I know her." And she was like, "What?" She's like, "I follow her on TikTok, the girl on your shirt, Lisa Schwartz." So it's been interesting, you know, but I say all that, you know, it's fun. But there is also a level of seriousness and stewardship that I do take very seriously that the Lord has, you know, when he says, when you're faithful in the small things, I'll give you charge over 10 cities, you know? And so there's a reminder, there's that reward of the Lord to say, because you were faithful in the small things, you were faithful when you had two followers. And you were just as intentional about the content and the passion that you had for the people who were watching as you do with 20,000 followers.
Yeah.
And I take that very seriously. And this is the Lord's doing. I mean, scripture is very clear that the kingdom of heaven is like a man who went out and he sowed a seed, and whether he slept or he was awake, that seed bore fruit and he didn't even know how it happened. And so that's, what's been fun to watch is like just the consistency that the Lord is like, just make a post every day, post what's on your heart, post what I'm showing. And, you know, for years I was like, this is stupid, you know, because the algorithm is finicky. Super fancy. Nobody can figure it out. People say they can figure it out. You're lying. You can't figure it out. And at the end of the day, you either do what God tells you to do or you don't. And you have to let the reward of the Lord be enough. And if you never see a response from the world, man, you got to sit yourself in the reward of God and let that be enough.
Amen. That's a word for me. I'll take that word.
Yeah, you take it for sure.
I had a question about, when you started really coming into, you know, the Holy Spirit's anointing when you were 40, when you were like getting really curious, 38, 40, I think is what you said.
Yeah.
When you were getting really curious and like really starting to dabble in those things, did you face any resistance from
people
around you? Is that a loaded question?
Girl, yes. So I actually was in leadership. I mean, I was like a youth leader at a denominational church, and the denomination isn't important, but let's just say it was a religious denominational church. And absolutely. In fact, my family and I were asked to leave because of the growth of the ministry. And because they had caught wind that we had like a praise and worship night on Monday nights, and a ton of youth from our community was coming. And by a ton, I mean like 50, 55 kids, students were coming. And the Lord really asked me to start ministering to them and laying hands on them. And some of them started falling out in the spirit. Some of them started speaking in tongues. They received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And of course, what they did was they went back to their youth pastors and shared a lot of that. And I understand all of that. So none of this is said to slam any, but rather this is just my story of what I experienced.
Yeah.
In that moment, you know, I had to make that choice. Like, and I was still just coming into it myself and was still a little unsure. Like, all I had to go on is is what I was experiencing. And I'm not saying we serve an experiential God or an experiential gospel, but we don't not serve an experiential God,
right?
Mm-hmm. Or an experience. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So, you know, we can't never have experience. We've got to have both. We've got to have the understanding of the character and the nature of God along with experience. You know, I compare it to my marriage. Like, I can know Brad, I can love him, we can get along, I can understand his character, but if I never experience him, that would be a very dry marriage. Uh-huh. And so, you know, I couldn't discount what was changing and transforming within me through these. So it was more than what I was experiencing. It's what was transforming within me. And most importantly, I was more than I'd ever experienced before. I was knowing how deeply God loved me.
Yeah.
Like, there was just a confidence. So it wasn't even like I loved him more. It was more like a relief from having to love him more and a resting in just letting him love me. And there was such an internal peace, but on the outward, and a lot of these pastors were my friends, and I was like very, and they were, I was actually discipling a lot of their students. And so there was a lot of angst there for me and going like, I can't really explain it. I don't really know what's happening. And so for them to say like, we're forbidding our students to come to your praise and worship nights anymore because of what is happening and what is going on. Some of the pastors told the students that I was imparting demons into them, which was very heartbreaking as well. So yeah, there was absolutely a lot of resistance. So God brought me to a place, you know, I kept going back into my closet and saying, God, this feels and seems right to me. Like, I've never felt the joy of the Lord and the love of God the way I've been feeling it since I've come into this wave of the Holy Spirit and this level of the manifestational gifts. And God said, well, here's the deal. You can be powerful or you can be popular. he said, you can be effective or you could be accepted. And those were the two choices he gave me. Do you want to be popular or do you want to be powerful? And do you want to be accepted or do you want to be effective? And I will never forget that day. And that was the day I made my choice. I'm not turning back. And I'm going to give up popularity and acceptance for power and effectiveness for the gospel. And so that was a big part of my story, was experiencing that resistance. And it wasn't just me. Obviously my kids were teenagers. So the majority of these kids coming to these were their friends.
Yeah.
And so they experienced it as well. And so it's a part of our family story, actually, was, you know, when mom got baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. So a follow-up question to that then is like, what have you felt like over the 10 years that you've really like moved in the gifts of the Spirit is some of the most misunderstood parts of the Holy Spirit? When people are looking at these moves and how, you know, miracles happen and what have you?
Oh gosh, there's a ton of ways that I could answer that question. The first thing that came to my mind was the authority that we have in Christ. And recognizing the authority that we have. And I think there's kind of this, there's kind of this understanding or this teaching that to step in the authority of Christ is to usurp the sovereignty of God. And there's a very big difference. And when you come into the understanding of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and the authority that's been handed back to us through the Holy Spirit, you know, we were given authority, we were given dominion in the Garden of Eden. And then of course it was given over to Satan through the sin of Adam and Eve. And so when Jesus came, he took that authority back, he died, and he poured the Holy Spirit back into us to give us the authority back. So it made full circle to come back to that authority. And I think there's a lot of resistance in the things we get to declare, the things that we get to speak, the way we get to speak life. And the Bible says that if you have the faith, as Jesus says this to the disciples, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, then you speak to the mountain and it will be moved.
Mm-hmm.
And that was never how I learned it, but that's what it says. You know, I learned that. I received that as, if you have the faith the size of the mustard seed, you can ask Jesus and he will move the mountain for you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what it says.
Right. It says you will.
You speak to the mountain and you move it. And so Jesus is speaking into the authority that he's giving to his disciples. And so I think that's a huge difference. I think that's a big gap between denominational teaching and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit teaching is that authority. And the second thing I would say I touched on a little bit earlier is that experiential side. And I think, you know, we have learned that emotionalism, experientialism in the gospel, or God's not an experiential God, that's just experiential. And I'm like, yeah, it is. But why is that wrong? Why is it wrong for me to experience God in a manifestational way? All over the scriptures, God manifests. And all over the scripture, when God manifests, people have a physical effect. There is a physical effect on their body because they are experiencing, they are feeling the presence of God. Old Testament, New Testament, post-resurrection, we see that in scripture. And I agree that if all I have is experience, if all I ever did was make love to my husband, and we never had good conversation, we didn't plan dreams together, we didn't partner in life together, and all we ever did was have sex, well, then I would just be his whore. And yes, it is possible. We call that whoring the Holy Spirit. There are some denominations out there, all they do is experience the Holy Spirit. But I think there needs to be, and this is why I love my spiritual upbringing, is because I have that understanding of the being ingrained in the character and the nature of Christ, and then topping it off of the authority and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And recognizing it's both. Like, there are some times I'm not going to experience or feel.
Mm-hmm.
I still have to do the right thing. I still have to be the right person.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there are those times where I'm like, I, my mind goes completely blank, and all I'm feeling is the trembling empowerment of the Holy Ghost on me. And I want, and I need both in my life.
Yeah.
And so I think those are, just off the top of my head, those are two of the big gaps, I think, from where I was at to where I'm at now in doctrinal understanding.
Yeah.
And if I had to speak a third, it would be the dichotomy versus the trichotomy. And I think understanding that we are a three-part man instead of a two-part man, you know, in the denominational, they really preach a difference between the soul and the spirit. Once we get saved, your spirit comes alive. You are a three-part man. You are a spirit being first, which is that authority, who has a soul that dwells in the flesh. And understanding that Jesus also was flesh and soul, walking under the empowerment and the unction of the Holy Spirit, changes the way I get to operate.
Mm-hmm.
It changes the way I view myself and going, okay, I am also flesh, who has a soul that gets to function under the unction of the Holy Spirit. So those would be the three answers off the top of my head.
Well, that was good.
Great answers. Yeah.
I just wanted to take us over to another place because I was triggered by what you said in your being there just a moment ago, but you spoke about, you know, you really just had a passion about empowering women and empowering people to walk in their identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of wanted to plug you as an author because I've read quite a few of your books. And I would say a great example of that would be the book Enforcing You.
Yes.
And still my favorite, I think, of your books.
Yeah.
I don't know if you find that across the board, but it's just so good, Lisa. It really put into words what the Lord and the Holy Spirit had been doing with me all along, but there it was in your book. So I just wanted to give you a moment as author, Lisa, to talk a little bit about that and about your books and what's going on in that world.
Yeah. So let me speak to Enforcing You, the book that you just spoke about. That was really written from a counselor's perspective from years of counseling believers who really struggle with exactly what I said I struggled with, which is I have this understanding of who I should be, who I could be, and then I have this reality that I live in.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I begin to define what I'm feeling in a moment? What is the message behind that feeling? so I can identify core lies and then begin to step in the authority of scripture to enforce new thinking, new feeling, new habits, new choices, and really just getting after, and it's really operating and stepping into that authority that we have through the word of God to enforce our identity. And not just have a knowledge of our identity, but actually live our identity, come into our God possibility and that God design. So after that book, so that was book number four, actually. And after that book is Enforcing Purpose. So enforcing purpose is kind of that next step. And the Bible says, when you delight yourself in the Lord, he will grant you the desires of your heart. And there's the idea of when I come into the knowledge of who I am, all of a sudden these passions and desires and paths and purposes begin to spill up out of me. And I think a lot of times we search for our purpose before we've discovered who we are. And that's backwards. And so enforcing purpose is actually written from the life coach perspective. So that counselor and life coaching, I flow back and forth so much with every client. Sometimes in a single session, we're moving from counseling to coaching, from counseling to coaching, because there are times in our life where we have to remove anchors that keep us from setting sail. And sometimes I just need to create momentum to set sail. And so that's enforcing prayer. So let me back up. Number one is come and see. It's all written on discipleship. It's looking at the Jesus's model and how everything he was doing wasn't just presenting the gospel, but it was also teaching and training his disciples. If you take a look at the gospels, it says all throughout, and his disciples who were with him. And so there was a concept or an idea of discipleship that was being taught in that I'm not going to just give you information, but I'm going to take you with me and I'm going to let you watch me minister the gospel. Mm-hmm. And that's where my house meetings have come up out of, is the idea of how do we teach and train people to flow in the gifts of the Spirit? Well, we cultivate an atmosphere and we do it. We demonstrate it and we let people do it with us instead of just teaching and training. And so we've got to have that time of demonstration and teaching as well. So all of that is captured in my first book, Come and See. And then my second book is called Mastering Your Seasons. And it's probably, I think, probably my most inspirational book, less teaching, a little more inspirational. It talks a lot about the difference between chronological time and kairos timing. And I take a look at the natural seasons that we live within, winter, spring, summer, and fall, and I compare them to spiritual seasons. And what is the enemy doing during those seasons? How do we learn to recognize those kinds of seasons that we're in? How do I go, okay, I'm in a wilderness right now. I'm in a winter season. And I know in a winter season that this is how the devil works. But I also know in a winter season that this is what God is doing. Mm-hmm. And so Mastering Your Seasons is all about teaching you the ways of the devil and the ways of God in every season.
It's the first book I ever read of yours, actually.
It's several people's favorites.
Yeah. So highly recommended. It's a good book.
And it does. That one does come with a workbook, a study guide as well, which was written out of request. Some people had requested, can you write a study guide? I want to do it with a group of friends. So that one does come with a study guide. Also does Come and See does as well. My third book is called To Love and To Be Loved, Establishing Healthy Relationship. And it was really inspired out of two things. One, the question that people would ask me, hey, what is the number one reason? What is the number one cause for the people in your program, Crazy Eight Ministries, who are homeless and who are in poverty? Is it lack of funding? Is it lack of resource? Is it lack of the inability to manage their finances? And it is 100% the inability to establish healthy relationships in their life. Mm-hmm. So they're born into a broken system with broken relationships. And our biggest challenge in rehabilitating people out of poverty is changing their relationships and changing the way they establish relationships, recognizing toxic patterns in their life, codependence, narcissism, gaslighting, all of those things. And so that book was written really out of that question. And intertwined in there is Brad and I's story of when we really decided to change patterns, unhealthy patterns in our marriage. And so that was kind of birthed out of that. Then the next one is Enforcing You, which I discussed already, Enforcing Purpose. After that is Enforcing Prayer, which I think we're about ready to reface and republish and kind of call it just a devotional book. A lot of that, because of, I write for YouVersion, so I write
devotionals for YouVersion. And a lot of what you'll find in my Enforcing Prayer book is similar to what's in the YouVersion, and they're really just daily devotionals of scripture passage, a declaration that enforcing that authority, looking at yourself in the mirror and saying you are those identity statements. And then my last book came out last fall, which I'm most excited about, and it's called The Pursuit of His Glory, Seeking the Character of God. And it goes back to a lot of what I've talked about also is how do we understand the difference between the character of God and the anointing of God? So the glory of the Lord is the nature and the character of God. And I've just shared with you guys, like, my last 10 years has been me chasing, discovering and chasing down the anointing of the Lord. But God really bringing me back and going, but all of that flows out of the heart and the character of God. And if all we're ever chasing is what I call the woo-woo of God, the yummy of the spirit, the yummy of the spirit, but we don't equally, if not more, chase down the heart and the character and the compassion and the nature of God, we are missing out. And the anointing without the glory is very dangerous. And similarly, the glory without the anointing is powerless. It's weak. And that's what I lived in for years. And so this book is all about really kind of taking you back full circle again, describing, comparing the difference between the glory and the anointing, again, just teaching. But then the whole second half is, how do I grow in the character of God? How do I groom my nature to look like Christ? So those are all the books. And then I think my next book is going to be West Side Story, which is the conference coming up this fall. So I'm going to be talking about crossing the Jordan from the east side to the west side.
Wow. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. You're calling it West Side Story.
Yeah. I'll have to kind of make sure I can do that legally. I think I can, because I'm using different logos, and it'll have the tagline Crossing the Jordan. Okay. So
it's a reimagination, if you will.
What's that?
It's a reimagination, if you will.
It is, for sure. And it's based off of the story in Numbers, where the 2.5 tribes basically are like, hey, we see the land over here. Our livestock is thriving on the east side. Please don't make us cross the Jordan into the west side. And they end up getting picked off by the devil first, and they miss out on the fullness. And really, it's a book about compromise and Christians who live in compromise, and how we miss out on the fullness of the west side because we're like, this is good enough. So I think that's my book coming up.
Yeah. So for our audience who maybe is just first being introduced to you today, Lisa, what book would you recommend they grab first from you?
Oh, gosh. I would say Enforcing You. I think it's a very foundational book. I think it speaks to everybody. I think there's not one person that wouldn't be like, okay, that was helpful to me. I think people would be inspired by A Mastering Your Seasons. If somebody's struggling with marriage, struggling with unhealthy toxic relationship, toxic patterns, then for sure To Love and To Be Loved. But everybody's going to receive something from Enforcing You, because we all have that pressure point in our life where it's like, why do I do the things that I do? Even Paul had that, you know? So yeah. I would say Enforcing You.
Yeah, I agree.
It's important to know who you are, right? Your identity, your everything about who you are.
Everything flows from that. The way you parent, the way you spouse, the way you business, the way you interact in Walmart. I mean, the way you respond to difficult situation all flows out of who you are.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Mm-hmm.
So as we're wrapping up, sweet Lisa, this has been just such a treat, but I just wanted to give you just a little bit of time to plug some things that you have coming up and how people can find you and learn more about you.
Okay. Well, I feel like I'm pretty easy to find. You can just put in my name, Lisa Schwartz. Don't put a T in the last name. You can find me on TikTok. You can find me on YouTube. I have 2 podcast channels. You can find me on Amazon. You can certainly find my website. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook. I have a conference coming up this fall, West Side Story. We are going to offer it virtually because we have so many followers now that are not local, that are like putting a demand on that. So it will be offered virtually. We've hired somebody that can, we did a trial run at our last conference. We had 5 people who just kind of did just a trial run for us. We didn't charge them anything. We were like, give us feedback. How was the audio? And they were like, oh my gosh, it was amazing. So that is coming up October 13th and 14th, 2023. I have all kinds of travels around the United States coming up. So I might be near you, whoever's listening. So you
hopefully
need
us.
Actually, I'm coming to Cleveland, Columbus area. I'd love to come back to Cincinnati area as well. I know we'll be in Virginia September 7, 8, 9. We're working on a trip to San Diego. We're working on a trip to Illinois, Springfield, Illinois area. So the best way to keep up with me is to sign up for my newsletter. And we send out a newsletter once a month, every once in a while, twice a month. We don't really do much more than that just because we're too busy and we don't want to. but that's the best way to follow. Yeah. And we try and put all that stuff on my social media. I've started recently putting, we had like 10 to 12 people show up in Nashville this last week. We were in Nashville and Franklin and Nashville area. And each house meeting, there was probably 10 to 12 people who literally just came solo on their own, knew nobody because they saw me on TikTok or they saw me on YouTube. So that's fun, you know, super fun. So there's lots of different ways that you can find me. I'd love to get connected. You can support me through Patreon. I've got a Patreon out now. You can find me on YouVersion. I write free devotionals on YouVersion. Again, two podcast channels on your favorite podcast application, whatever it is. So I'm pretty easy to find.
Yeah. And I also wanted to plug real quick. If you go to Lisa's website, and we can link it here in the show notes as well. But she also has training. I actually took her biblical certification program, and it was great. So there's also other things that if you're looking to further your spiritual walk or whatever that looks like for you, there's some education tools available for you on her website as well.
Yep. And if you sign up for those Patreon levels, you can get up to 20% on some of that stuff. So,
oh, nice.
I put out private devotionals and have a private community of purpose through my Patreon. And look, it's like either $15 or $30 a month. So it's very affordable. And we've just done that because the platform has gotten so big, I love people and I want to create community. So that's really the heart behind that.
That's really great. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I appreciate this was so much fun. Yeah. I am so excited that, you know, if our listeners haven't got the just opportunity to meet you, they can get plugged in right away. Lisa is all over. So make sure, listeners, you do that.
Yeah, thank you.
Awesome. Lisa. Thank you so much.
All right, friends. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye, friends.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Podcast copyright 2022, Parable Road, LLC.